Lord, thank you for David, Lord. Thank you for that he's come to visit us today, Lord. Thank you for this man of God, Lord.
Yes.
We know that every word that comes out of his mouth is your truth, Lord. And we know that what you prepared this morning, what he's prepared carefully, he will be able to speak to our hearts, Lord, and bless every single one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Yes, please.
Right, here we go. Well, I don't have to say much because it's already been prayed. The message has been prayed and everything is laid out before me, and it's great because Mark's prayers and the prayers you've already heard is what God laid on my heart for today. So we're in the right place, aren't we? It's good to be here, and I was just thinking, sitting here, it's a few years since I've been here, but I'm thinking back, goodness knows how many years now, but this was a church that came to my rescue many years ago. And it's good, yeah. And God hasn't changed, has he? No. And it's amazing where God leads us and takes us, isn't it? Yeah. Father, just bless us as we just look at your word and consider your heart. Lord, speak to me, speak to us. Lord, thank you, you're here. Thank you, Lord. That's good to see very many friendly faces. And one or two not so friendly, but there we go. Do you ever wake up with a song on your mind? Do you? Yeah, my wife actually says she's found I sing in my sleep. I talk in tongues in my sleep. I pray. The one thing she doesn't like is when I dance in my sleep. She knows, and she finds that a bit difficult, you know. But over the last couple of weeks or so, I've had two songs on my mind when I've woken up. One was Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan. Now, Doug and I might remember that far back, but the rest of you's been so young. And that song was "For the Times They Are A-Changing." The times are changing. And the second one was a Christian song, which you'll be glad to hear, I suppose. It was "Yesterday, Today and Forever. You do not change, you are the same." And so, obviously, this morning, I want to talk for a few moments. I did say to Matthew, I won't do an African sermon, because since we've been going to Africa every year for so many years, I've learned to be able to preach for an hour and three quarters. Do you want one of those? Thank you. May the blessing fall on one this morning. No. But, you know, it really got me thinking, how much change is there in our lives? How much is going on around us? And, you know, I know change isn't easy for any one of us. I know I'm getting on a bit. In a few months, I'll hit that 3 score and 10. I know I don't look that old, but you know. But my friend Simon comes up from Plymouth and now and again, and we sit there and we talk about all the good things that used to be. Do you remember those? We used to have the Corona van come along, park at the end of our street. He actually used to park at the end of our drive. And we used to... And we used to argue... What flavour? We're going to have lime or orange or raspberry. And you remember them, Kerry. Oh, some others as well. Yeah. Oh. The bread man. Oh. He had a wonderful old wooden truck. On one side was all your cream cakes, your ice slices. And the other side was all that lovely smell. Oh, it's beautiful. Times have changed, haven't they? Not always for the best. You know, I miss those sort of things.
Mother's pride.
Good old mother. Yeah, mother's pride. Fresh bread. The coal man. Oh, now I'm getting some. Coal is black stuff we used to put in a fire and set light to. It wasn't piped with hot water running through. Yeah. The coal man. Goodness. Yeah, all those things. The milkman. Those were the days, weren't they? Would we like to go back to them? So I know I'm getting on, but we've seen so many changes in our lives, haven't we? You know, we've seen so much. Who's the youngest one here? You look quite young over there. There's some young people over there. You two young people, what's the biggest change you've seen in your life, do you think? Okay, while you're thinking, how about we older ones? What's the biggest change you've seen, Adrian?
Well, the biggest change is just the way of life and the pace of life. Yeah. It's got faster. Here today and gone tomorrow. You can have it today and pay later.
Yeah.
It never used to be like that.
Oh, we used to have the coffee man come round.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only one. That's the only way you could do it in those days, I think. Computers. CDs, mobile phones. Who loves a mobile phone? Do you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't like it. Oh. What did we do without them? What did we used to do without a mobile? I say that every morning when I see the children walk into school. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I had that on mine, but the wife turned it off. I just don't know where she is now. But, yeah, and mobile phones. Do you love them or hate them? You know, when you go shopping, shall we have beef or shall we have pork tonight? Oh, they've only got shreddies. No cornflakes this week. Oh, shall I buy the blue dress or the pink one? And the people bump into you. Oh, don't get me. No, I won't get started on mobile phones. Oh, actually, I opened my boot and I found an ancient manuscript in my boot. It was called a map. Yeah. Sat-navs. You know, I've seen so many changes. I've seen changes in the church. You know, the songs that we sing. Changes in movements, you know. I better be careful how I say this, but when I joined the Baptist movement, well, they were staid. The conferences were, well, if you could stay awake, you were a better saint than I. But now they're all razzmatazz and going for it. Church has changed, life has changed, politics have changed, everything's changed. Everything changes. Think of our early years. We see the babies. I look at my big heap of a son over there. How many of you remember when he was a little tot? Kerry does. When he had hair. But babies grow up into children, don't they? Children grow up into youths. Youth grow up into wild animals that know everything. And then, if we're lucky, they grow into people. You know, everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Some changes are for the good, and some, I think, are not so good. But we have to move. We have to move. Maybe not all, but I sometimes find change pretty unsettling. Pretty unsettling. But today I'm so grateful. As has been prayed, as has been said, I've got one constant in my life. And the verse I was going to use, I am using this morning, has already been said. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and how long? I expect people to talk to me. You know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's constant. And I'm so glad that is the one constant, because so much changes. And also in Hebrews 13, this is a promise from God, and he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? There's so many other scriptures I was finding, especially through the Old Testament, of how much we are reassured that God doesn't change. You know, and what I believe God has got for us today, and I think it's so obvious already, is that when we leave this place, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world, good, bad, or indifferent, we're going to leave with the knowledge and the assurance that God is with us, God is constant, and he is faithful. He doesn't change. Come on, wake up. Come on. You know, the Christ is unchanging and constant throughout all time. This emphasis on his constancy, his trustworthiness, offering believers comfort and firm, an anchor to set in him, even as the world changes around us. The world changing around us. The posh word that the theologians would use is God is immutable. And part of that immutability actually also says he can't be shut up, he can't be muted. But that's a slightly different line. But God is immutable, and this means that God's character, his essential character and his attributes, they don't change at all, which makes him reliable. There's not much we can rely on, really, is there today? But we can rely on God because he is constant. He is our foundation. You know, this doctrine is the core concept of so many theologies across the world, highlighting how God is perfect. God is perfect. No fault, no blame, no blemish. You know, I believe when the Asians, they make carpets. We like these big posh carpets, don't we? They always make one mistake in the middle, because only God is perfect. Nothing they do is ever perfect. So God is perfect in his character, in his ways he does things, in his principles. You know, we declare that nothing is impossible for God, don't we? Do we believe it? Seriously, today, do we believe that nothing is impossible for God? I'm so pleased that you do, because sometimes I talk to Christians and they're beginning to think, oh, well, I'm not sure if God can do that. God can do everything, can't he? God can do anything. And he is faithful. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. And his character, you know, he is eternal from beginning to end. No changes. Nothing he can do. But actually, I did find in Scripture, there is one thing God can't do. He can't change. He can't change. That's the one thing God can't do. He can't change. So he is true to who he is, how he stands, and what he does. You know, it's pretty clear and cross and really clear cut when we read scriptures like Malachi, where God says, this is God saying, I, the Lord, do not change. That's a declaration from the heavens. That's the declaration from God Almighty, who sits upon the throne. This is the declaration from the one who spoke and the world was created. And he says simply, I don't change. I don't change. James 1:17 says, he doesn't change like the shifting clouds. You know, I love watching clouds. Oh, no, it's shifting shadows, but I love watching clouds. When I walk the dog in the park, I spend a lot of time looking up. I don't know what the dog's doing, but I'm looking up and I'm watching the clouds and they change and there's some beautiful pictures. And don't you love it when the sun just comes through the cloud? It's like heaven shining through. Yeah. As you said, I'm still the same. I'm still an old romantic. Yeah. But God doesn't change. Everything changes to us, our bodies. Oh, don't we know it? That's the second interesting thing when you get old. You just don't talk about how good everything used to be. You also discuss how many pills you're taking. You know, our bodies change. Oh, dear. Some of us rattle when we walk. But anyhow, our bodies change. Our minds and our opinions change as we mature. You know, we know that plants grow. We know that seasons change. Society evolves. and devolves. Everything is going on. Technology marches on. I could tell you so many stories about things that I wanted as a young man that are now just commonplace. Anyhow, I won't digress too much. We've got to have our dinner in an hour. So, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, I will. Cars, motor cars. This might not sound very good, but the first thing I ever wanted, I wish I had a cigarette lighter in my car. I don't know why, but I wish I had one. I did then. Yeah. I did then. Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah. I've been cured. I've been saved from that as well. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know, but electric windows. Actually, Christian was reminding one of our first cars didn't even have wing mirrors, so... Electric windows. Now we've got everything in it. Got computers in there that tell you where to go. Now, things... I'm sure there's things that we all think... You know, I know it's the old thing, isn't it? Your mobile phone's got more technology than landed the man on the moon. Can you believe that? There's more technology in that little phone in your pocket than landed the first man on the moon. Wow, things change. People change, we change, our opinion changes, technology marches on. I think all that we know is change. But God doesn't need to change. He doesn't have to advance. He doesn't have to go forward because he is at the ultimate there ever will be. As I said, he's perfect. He's reached the pinnacle. He is the pinnacle of all things. Some may say that in the scriptures, there seem to be times when God seems to change his mind. Now that got me thinking, how can God change his mind if he knows all things and does all things and he's on top of things? And especially in the Old Testament where it said he repents or he relents. And some even say he has regrets, which can throw our beliefs into a perfect God sort of on a slant. Especially if we believe in a God who's omniscient, who knows all things, knowing all things past, present, future, and he holds all things. But I've found as I've looked at these scriptures, those that surround is when God has come and given us or give a mankind a choice. Jesus said to the people, you choose today life or death. I prefer you choose life, but you can choose death if you want. God knows the choices we're going to make, but I think there are times when he's very disappointed in the choices that we do make because he has something better for us. And so I don't think God does make mistakes. I don't think God does change or repent, but it's that time when man's free will just overcomes God's perfect plan. So if anybody says, well, God said that God repented, no, he had a choice, he gave man a choice, and he wishes that man had made the other choice. What is it about God that doesn't change? Well, we've touched on a lot of that, but just quickly now. Say everything in God doesn't change. And when I say God, I'm talking the Godhead. I'm talking Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm talking the three in one, the Godhead. You know, he's changing, unchanging essence. God is whatever he's made of. His very nature can never change. As an eternal being, he is not growing or aging like we do. He never has and he never will. He is who he is and will remain the same from eternity past to eternity future to the day when we see him face to face in the glory. He would not have changed. You know, some of you might notice my hair's changed colour, and it's not because I've had a dye put in. It's like all of you out there with a grey hair. It's the beginning of wisdom.
I love it.
That's what it says, doesn't it? Yeah. The Bible says that. Don't you get it? No. Whoa, what? Yeah, God doesn't change. You know, the same God that Adam dealt with is the same God that we're dealing with. It's the same God who blessed Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the same God that we have today. He's got an unchanging character. He doesn't get up in the morning feeling a bit fed up, and so he gets a bit bad-tempered with everybody and starts scolding them when they have too many cornflakes or anything. He's not a God whose character changes. He is, his personality, his traits remain constant. You know, whatever makes up his character is who he is. He's steadfast, reliable. In the ancient world, other nations believed that gods, their characters can change. All depends what's going on around them. If they get up, if something goes against them, they can be spiteful and they can be corrective in the wrong way. They can lash out. But God never gets up the wrong side of the bed. He doesn't get prickly like we can get prickly when somebody says the wrong thing to us. He is constant. He is faithful. He is loving. His character, his attributes, they're constant. They're perfectly consistent at all times. He's got unchanging plans. God has set a plan for each one of us in our lives. He set a plan for each one of us to go, and he has set that plan. When he says it, he's going to do it. When God makes a statement of fact, he is going to fulfill it. My baptismal promise many, many, many moons ago was, faithful is he who calls you, he will do it. And I found that to be true. Yes, in fairness in my life, I've made a detour or two, but he's always brought me back to where I should be. And he does that with all of us. When he makes a plan, he said, I'm going to make Abraham a blessing to the nations. And guess what? Abraham became a blessing to the nations. There's so much. He said, I will send salvation, and he sent Jesus. He is true to his word. So if you've had a word that you know and you are certain is from God and it hasn't been fulfilled yet, keep holding on to that word. His plans do not change. When he said to Israel, I'm going to take you to the land of promise. Did they get there? Yeah. Yes, they went via Sinai, where they had a bit of a hoo-ha with the golden calf and the Ten Commandments and all of those things. They fell up by the way, but God led the nation of Israel into the land of promise because he said he would, so he did. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Yeah, he doesn't change his mind. So I've got a side note in my notes here. I just wonder what it was. Yeah. And but he does also say, when he says, I'm going to curse something because it's wrong, he curses it. So whenever you pick up your scriptures, whenever you read the Bible, I believe this is the true word of God. There's no error in it. There's no fault in it. And if God says it, I believe it. So that settles it. That's how I live. That's how I try to live, should I say. He's unchangeable in his personal ways. God always follows through. They don't change. Sometimes they're conditional. If you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, then that will happen. And I think, poor old Jonah. Poor old Jonah. Come on, Jonah, after, go for a swim, you know, spend a bit of time inside of a fish. Go back over to Nineveh and tell them if they don't repent, God's going to blat them. That's a technology term, theological term, by the way. God is going to strike them. But they repent. And God saves them. And Jonah gets a sulk on, doesn't he? Oh, you said you were going to do this. Yes, but I said if they repented. But God knew that they were going to repent. God knew what was going to happen. But through Jonah, we learn lessons. So that's why it's there. He's unchangeable in his personal ways, but he's creative. God is creative. The way that he deals with me is not the way that he deals with Kerry, the way he deals with Matthew or Adrian or any of you. The way that God has worked in my life doesn't mean he's going to work the same in your life, because my life is different and unique and different to yours, isn't it? I've got my own circumstances and situations. You've got yours. God made you unique. Do you know that? There's nobody else like you. And if I hear a hallelujah after this, God made no one else like me. God has made you unique, just as you are. God has made this church unique. He's made Stotfold unique to any other town around us. So he won't deal with the Letchworth church as he does with the Stotfold church. He won't deal with this person the same as that person. He can if he wishes. But he looks at our uniqueness and he says, I will deal with Adrian as I need to deal with Adrian. And do I need to deal with Adrian?
No, seriously.
God loves you and recognizes you as a unique part of creation. And he will be faithful to you as you need him to be faithful to you. Just because he heals one person in this way doesn't mean he's going to heal that person with the same condition in the same way. He does things differently. God is creative. God is creative. There's so much more I could say this morning. God is not one-dimensional. God is not one-dimensional. I just think that's marvelous, don't you? He's not just fixed. He's got variations on a theme, but that theme is constant. It is him. Even identical twins can have different natures, so we're all unique. Change is all around us. And if we're honest, many of us don't like change. It would be good for the world to stand still for a while, wouldn't it? I would like the world to stand still sometimes and just take a step back. But things are going on around us and should we adapt to change? Some, yes. Others, if it's outside the will of God, then no. You know, I see so much going on in the world today that you can see that God's hand is not in it. There's so much I've seen in my 70 that God has not been in. So should we change for change's sake? We change if God has called us to change. God will change us, and he does change us, praise his name. Should we embrace it? Sometimes we have no choice because it's what's going on around us. Sometimes it's forced on us. But some changes, I believe, may challenge us. And as Christians, as a church, we need to stand up and say no. That's something the church is not very good at anymore, saying no to the world. Society is overrunning the church, and I think it's a big fear we have. That's something, you know, I just dedicate myself to pray. Society is not a godly society anymore, and we should pray God back into the general society. Anyhow, I digress. It's time to, I believe, we must challenge, especially those things against the word of God. Those which bring hardship and injustice to others, and those who prey on the vulnerable. As believers, as God's people, there will be times when we have to speak up. As I said, unfortunately, many don't, but we have to. Changes will come. But no matter what's going on in your life, in my life, in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent, we have to remember that our God is constant, that he remains the same. Has God healed in the past? Oh, good. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, the dumb shall speak. Come on. Has God healed in the past? He will heal again. He will heal yesterday. He can and will heal today. And he will heal forever because he is God our healer. He is God the Savior. That has not changed. He has saved, he will save, and he's going to save. So if you've got unsaved family, don't give up. He's the same. God is a deliverer yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's a conqueror over Satan and the demons. He did it yesterday. We read it in the book. We've seen it with our eyes, some of us. But he can still do it today. And he can do it tomorrow. God has not lost his power. God is a counselor. He will bring counsel to us. Here's one for you. Did God raise the dead?
Yes.
Can he raise the dead?
Yes.
Will he raise the dead?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because he's the same God who did it, will do it, and is doing it. Oh, God is still the God of miracles. So no matter what's going on in your life, in my life, there's still more to come. An old lady in my first church, a lovely lady, Jamaica lady. Oh, she used to say, and the end is not yet, hallelujah. The end is not yet, hallelujah. And it's true, it's going on. So whatever you're seeing in your life, place your trust in the God who is able. Place your trust in the God whose love towards you has not changed. God still loves you. His promise to us is that he will watch over us. And he's true to his promises. And all things will work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. So no matter what we're going through, all things will work together for good. Sometimes we need to cast our eyes over the situation into the horizon where God is, where heaven meets earth, and we see that it's going to be all right. Let's cast our vision forward. Oh, hallelujah. We can see changes in the health of our loved ones as they age, as we age. As illness takes home, no matter how distressing, we have to see that God is still a healer. And he heals in different ways. And for those who are unwell, he comforts. He is a comforter. But all that happens, and I think I'll leave you with this, all that happens, we have to set our eyes upon Jesus, the author, finisher, perfecter of our faith, who is constant and who is with you right now, who is with us. I just want us just to bow our heads for a little while. You know, be assured God hears prayer. Don't give up praying. Don't give up trusting. And God does respond. God sees our mistakes, our errors, and he forgives us. As we let him, he will restore us. Jesus changed water into wine so the people at the wedding will be blessed. If you feel like you're treading water at the moment, if you feel like you're sinking, God can change that water into solid ground. He can turn the water into wine so it will be the best for those who are there. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Father, thank you for stumbling words. Lord, thank you. Lord God, that the truth is, you still bless me, even though sometimes I don't feel I deserve it, but you still do. Father, I pray for those here, Lord God, who have got loved ones who are unwell. Lord, we've heard of Laura. We've heard of others, Father God. Lord, we know of Pauline Wade and others, Father God, who are struck down. You are a healer. Lord God, all can ask is, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, we have loved ones who need saving. Father God, you said in your word you would have that all men should be saved. Father, let salvation visit our homes afresh, Father God.
Yes,
and may we rejoice in the glory. Father, you've made so many promises to us. And today, Lord God, I'm going to leave this place knowing you are faithful to your promises. You're faithful to your call. You're faithful to who you are. And Father, amazing as it is, you love me. And you love each one of us. So Father, for those who feel unloved this morning, cast your comfort upon them. Lord, let the Spirit of God just fall and move us on. Let us leave this place with heads held high in confidence that God is for us and he is not against us. So Lord, in my life, in the life of these wonderful people here, in the life of this incredible church, Father God, have your way, for your way is perfect. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We commit ourselves to following you and ask you that you shape our lives and direct our paths. Open our eyes to see you in your word and open our hearts to hear your voice. Equip and empower us through the Holy Spirit to be your witness in our community and in the world. Help us to grow more and more into your likeness. Amen. Let's stand and sing, What a Beautiful Name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High.
Your
hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you.
The veil fell before you, in silence of both of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring,
the praise and your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you are our Creator, Lord. Lord, you created us from your will, Lord. You, as David said, you are perfect. You didn't need to create us, but you did create us, Lord, and you created us in your light, Lord. And we are thankful for that, Lord Almighty God. Mm-hmm. We just praise your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being in our lives, Lord, and guiding us and protecting us and keeping us safe, mm-hmm. and healing us, Lord, mm-hmm. because we need a lot of healing, Lord. We keep sinning. We don't mean to do sin, but we do our best, Lord, and you know what's in our heart, Lord, and we are thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, praising you for the immeasurable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you for his life, his teachings, and his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, which makes our salvation possible. We thank you that he rose again, conquering death and providing us with the hope of eternal life. May our lives be a testament to your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Right, thank you. Well, thank you, David. That was amazing. That really spoke to me. And it's just made me feel about what God is doing in our lives. This is like a testimony. Anybody who's got a testimony can come up. But I'm just thinking, like, the last